last time when we talking about sharing about St. Francis de Sales introduction part 3, we talk about, you know, his writing, talking about the importance to use our tongue properly, that we do not use our tongue for gossiping, for slander, for insulting people, for causing people to sin. And also, Francis de Sales talked about recreation, that recreation should not become an occupation. So it's something that to refresh our mind, and it's something that, you know, done with moderation. And he was totally against, you know, gambling. He also, I think we talked about last time, the importance of having that balance. You know, if we immerse ourselves into worldly things for too long a time, our fervor is usually easily to cool down for God. Huh? So we have to keep that fervor. We have to have that environment, the atmosphere of the holy. So we have to set time to pray every day. We have to turn our mind to God from time to time, so not to get too immersed into worldly things. So that's last time. So today we wrap up the part 3 of the introduction to the Devout Life. You know, the whole part 3 is about the practice of virtues. And St. Francis get into the details of daily life, you know, like recreation, like using of the tongue, like friendship, you know, so that we can be make holy in the different areas of our daily life. So he mentioned something like, you know, we have to be faithful in small things. St. Francis de Sales, he pointed out that we have not as many opportunity, you know, to serve God in big things. But we have tons and tons of opportunity to serve God in small things. So if we do the small things really well, and whatever we do, you know, can turn into a prayer, is something that really pleasing to God. So he wrote, you know, great occasions for serving God come seldom, but little ones surround us daily. And our Lord himself has told us that he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. If you do all in God's name, all you do will be well done. Whether you eat, drink, or sleep, whether you amuse yourself or turn the speed, as long as you do all wisely, you will gain greatly as in God's sight, doing all because he would have you do it. So another bishop, you know, wrote about St. Francis de Sales himself, that St. Francis himself surely preached, you know, practiced what he preached, because he himself was really faithful and reverent and precise in every ceremony, you know, no matter how small, on the altar, in choir, in public office, he always do things really well. So in small thing to serve God faithfully. And then St. Francis also, in another chapter, he talking about we need to be just and reasonable. Even though we call common sense, but quite often common sense is not so common. And we need to be reasonable with people. And so quite often we may not be reasonable in a way that we find fault in the people that we do not like. So it is a really small thing. I don't like that person. He do something bad. You make that a big deal. And also, you know, is another thing is that when people that we like, you know, do something wrong, we just overlook them. We just don't see it as a big problem. So we tend to be biased, you know. People that we like, we will excuse them. People we don't like, we pick on them. And then also, you know, quite often when we sell things to other, we want the other people to pay us huge amount of money. When we buy things, we want to pay little as possible. So St. Francis suggests us, you know, when you are buying, you know, think about that, put yourself into the position of the one that is selling.
You know, if you are selling something, put yourself into the position of someone who is dying. So he wrote, you know, sell as it would buy, and buy as it would sell, and your buying and selling will alike be honest. So try to put yourself into our neighbors, into another person's place, and then put our neighbor in our place. So in that way, it will be much more easy to acquire a just and reasonable mind when we are dealing with other people. And then another chapter that he devoted, you know, after talking about faithfulness in small things, about that be reasonable with people around you, and then he talked about desire. So he, of course, telling us we have to avoid any desire that will be evil, sinful desire. I have to say no immediately. But also some desire can be dangerous. So we have to be careful. You know, some of the things can be quite useless. That we desire for something that is quite distant from now, that will only distract and make our heart tired, weary the heart. So, he mentioned something like, you know, if a young man really, really longing for an appointment he cannot obtain yet for a while, what good for him, you know? You know, if you just started and you dream about being a manager, you know, you just want to, you have that desire that is so far away, not that useful. If a married woman set her heart on becoming a religious, so if you are married but you're always thinking about to be a nun, I wish I were, I'm a nun, you know, that's not quite useful because now you have to serve your husband first. And then if you want to buy your neighbor property, but he would not want to let go of that, what use with that, you know? So I always want to buy Kim and Ross a house, you know, if they don't want to let go of the house, what use is that, right? You know, no point to desire, right? I want to rob a swimming pool, you know. He doesn't want to let go of that. What's the use of design for that, you know? Or your St. John the Apostle relics. What use of that, you know? That's our inside joke. Okay, anyhow. So what use is that? No use to desire something he will not let go, you know. So, and he mentioned if his father, himself said, if I am sick and I'm anxious to desire for preaching, for celebrating Mass, to visit other sick people, or do things that is only for healthy people, then it's not quite profitable desire. But, you know, but at that time, his desire should be patient, resigned, self-denying, obedient, gentle under suffering. So sometimes if our desire for something that is not quite realistic is too strong, it's actually, you know, will choke those desires that should be here and now. So something that we should be desire here and now, you know, St. Francis used the example, when you are sick here and now, you should desire for patience, self-denial, obedient, gentle under suffering. If you desire something else, you know, you may be so irritated that you just don't have the mood to desire for the thing that you're supposed to be desiring right now. So it is with somebody's vocation, you know, the calling for you is clear, then it's a waste of time to wishing for something else. And our desire should be something that really adapts, you know, to our duty, and our practice to be suitable to our present situation. Now, so St. Francis himself, you know, he devoted that couple chapter, three different chapters on fidelity, fairness to others, or reasonable mind, and then also about our desires. And then he gives some advices, you know, to married couples, and then to widow, and then to unmarried people. Now, for married couple, you know, he talking about, you know, he devoted a few chapters into that. And then, Because he mentioned about three important effects or results of the love of holy matrimony. The first effect or result of the love of holy matrimony is the indissoluble union of the heart. The second one is the inviolable fidelity. So the fidelity between couple. And he also explained why the using of the ring, you know, because the ring is being used to seal, as a seal, you know, you seal document with ring. So when couple get married, you know, when the man give the ring to the wife, you know, or the man receive the ring from the wife, you know, is so the woman seal your heart. You cannot think about any other woman. Important, huh? And then when the woman receive the ring, you know, the man seal your heart. You shouldn't have affection for other men, you know. So that's the ring. So, and the third effect of the marriage is the birth and bringing up of children. And also, you know, as St. Francis also talking about married love, he cautioned married couple not to turn love into jealousy. He wrote, you know, of a truth, jealousy never arises where love is built on true virtue. And therefore, when that jealousy, that's a sign, is an earthly sensual love, in which mistrust and inconstancy is soon infused. It is a sorry kind of friendship, which seeks to strengthen itself by jealousy. For though jealousy may be a sign of a strong love, it is certainly no sign of a good, pure, perfect attachment. And that because perfect love implies absolute trust in the person loved, whereas jealousy implies uncertainty. St. Francis also wrote about the blessing of children. He also mentioned that St. Bernard's mother, as soon as her children were born, she offered them to God. And so the result was that all her children became quite holy. So, you know, it's also, you know, parents can entrust their children to God through Our Lady, consecrate to Our Lady. One of the things that I do invite parents to do after I do a baby baptism is to recite with me a prayer to consecrate the baby to Our Lady. So I did that two times today because I got two baptisms today. You know, so it's a way to entrust them, you know, the babies to Our Blessed Mother. And then also, of course, St. Francis also point out, you know, as soon as the children are capable of exercising reason, you know, the parents should carefully seek to impress their heart with the love of God. St. Francis, you know, he recommend people, when there is wedding anniversary, to celebrate that in a holy way, not just partying, you know, but to use like confession, communion, fervent prayer to sanctify marriage and a wedding anniversary. And then St. Francis also, he devote a chapter, maybe even more than that, on about, you know, moderation in sexual pleasure. I would not go into all the details that he make point by point of comparison, but basically the main thing he did was compare sexual pleasure like eating pleasure. So thinking, you know, if you just seek pleasure for eating, it's no good. If for eating, it's for health, it also should be for companionship, but not just for eating for the pleasure. So he mentioned about sexual pleasure is not just for pleasure, but it should be for love and life. You know, for life, but also for the love of the couple, for the husband and wife. And then he moved on, you know, to devote a chapter on widow. So St. Paul said, honor widows who are widows indeed. So St. Francis point out, what is widow indeed? What do we mean by true widow? He mentioned that true widow is not only widow in body, but also widow in the heart. That means that widow have the resolution in the heart to forgo second marriage for the sake of giving all the affections more fully to God. So the person is widow in not only in body because there's no spouse around, but it's widow in heart because it makes that resolution to offer all the affection to God. So of course, for that kind of dedication, actually in the early church there's a state of holy widowhood. People actually can be enrolled to be widow. Prayer would be an important occupation for widow who are in the holy state of widowhood. And of course, St. Francis mentioned it should be done with the pure intention, not just because you enroll to be holy widowhood in that state, so that people will support you or admire you, not with bad motive, but with pure motive for love of God. And of course, finally, St. Francis himself also devoted a chapter on people who are single, who are not married. And of course, it's important to keep the heart pure, so that when one day God called the person into marriage, the gift of self will be given, because you don't want to give a heart that is not pure or a body that's not pure, but you want to keep yourself pure and clean of heart. And of course, if the person being called to the state of holy virginity to consecrate oneself to God, of course, keeping the heart pure is also really important to help you to have your commitment in the future will be more at ease and also can be more dedicated. Saint Jose Maria Escrivá, he wrote, have you noticed how human love consists of little things? Well, divine love also consists of little things. So when we love God, we use little things to show our love. Daily prayer, daily fidelity to prayer, sacrifice, daily duties, little things, we offer them up to God to show our love. And then in human love, we also use little things to show love for one another. One of the priests, when he did wedding, he always tell couple there are six words that you can make use of a lot of time and it will help your relationship. The six words are, I love you, I'm sorry. Always say that, I love you, I'm sorry, So it's those are the six words that he say will be really useful for relationship. But you think about, when we want to strengthen our relationship with God, it's also in a sense we have to make acts of love and also acts of contrition lots of time to God. And we make a bigger act of love every time we go to communion. We make bigger acts of contrition every time we go to confession too. So we also have to renew our relationship with God constantly by striving to grow in love for Him, but also striving to purify our heart by being sorry, for our sin. So it's a really short presentation, Really, really short presentation. But what last time on Monday there have been a longer meeting. I remember what happened now. Somebody in the meeting asked, okay, St. Francis talk about married and widow and single, and somebody asked, how about divorce, And then another lady said, at that time there's no divorce. At St. Francis de Sales time, so he won't write about divorce at all. So I explained, of course when there's a divorce, you have to look into your first marriage. Is that a true marriage at all? Because sometimes people, they got married outside the Catholic Church, or any other thing, that might make the first marriage is not a true marriage at all, And of course, sometimes people might be able to have a ground to seek for annulment or seek for, dissolve the first marriage. It can be possible. But if that not possible,
I say it's a bit like it's a living widowhood. You know, it's a living widowhood. But it's something that, you know, of course, for the love of God, you know that because the first marriage is still there, you don't seek for any romantic relationship. So in a way, you know, it's a bit like the holy widowhood, that you do that for the love of God, and you do your best to have your affections mainly for God, so that you don't, it's a situation that can sanctify, that can help you to become holy, you know, because now you don't have to worry about how your spouse feel or approve or not that you go to church or do religious thing. Now you'll be more free to, you know, concentrate affection to God and prayer and also a spiritual exercise, so that it will be a little bit like the holy widowhood situation. And then we got into the situation, people asking me all kinds of complicated questions, saying that how about if that person was married before, and then it's all kinds of question they asked on Monday. So that's why our meeting was a bit longer because of that. And I said, not surprising, because like sometimes when we talk about divorce and things like that, do have people ask a lot of questions because they know people, you know, they might have different kind of issues in their lives. So I think we talk about things like annulment and also about if a first marriage is non-sacramental, that means if one was never baptized during the time of the first marriage, or both were never baptized, the church might able to dissolve the first marriage. And then we talk about if a person is a Catholic, the person must be married in the Catholic Church, there were true marriage, you know, otherwise it's invalid, you know, need to be convalidated in the Catholic Church. So all kinds of little details, questions being asked in the Monday group. And then at the end, I also remember one thing, that is that if we want to serve God in our daily life, it's always good that we do remember three things in our daily life. The first one is that whenever we are doing things, we try to pause and raise our mind to God from time to time. That's a simple way to sanctify our day, our work. And also the church, you know, if we pray that way, the church also give partial indulgence, you know, each time we do that. So it's something that we can do that from time to time, you know, pause and turn our mind to God. The second way that we really can serve God, you know, also regularly, is to, you know, deprive of ourselves some legitimate pleasure. So it's sometimes that, you know, when we we give up something, you know, sometimes we might be out of curiosity, you know, want to read some articles on the news, on the internet. But sometimes we can make the sacrifice, you know, saying to ourselves, it might be interesting for me, but it's really not useful, so I skip that as a sacrifice. So that's something that can be done easily. But if we got the habit of doing some small sacrifice like that, you know, it's just built up, you know, because just like that quotation I said, you know, that divine love also consists in a lot of little things, right? So those are the little sacrifices that we can make. Sometimes we can deprive ourselves of legitimate pleasure of, you know, skipping dessert, but also maybe by taking the food that we do not like a bit more, less of the bit of the food that we like. A bit more easy when you are eating in a Chinese setting, you know, because Chinese setting do that, you have different plate, you know, and then you get your food, but you know, so it's a bit easier. I think in the Western one it's a bit difficult because you got your own portion, right? And then for me more difficult because somebody cook for me, I think everything people cook for me anyway. So it's sometimes that we can deprive of ourselves some legitimate pleasure. And then the third one is, of course, to do something that you are not required to do, something good that you are not required to do. So it's also something that we have that desire to do something more
extra prayer for people who are in need, do some extra work of charity. So it's something that we can always, those are the three things that from day in, day out, those little things, turn our mind to God from time to time, deprive some legitimate pleasure, and then also do something that is not required, but we do that out of love for God. And so in that way, it's also to help us to sanctify our day and to able to serve God in daily life, no matter where God is calling us, but also in the ordinariness of our daily life.